The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of Spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
Don't at me, but I've assembled TV's smartest and funniest creatives, and together we might just solve or laugh at all of the nation's problems right after the music cue. I'd like to welcome two of my honest to God favorite people. I'm going to start with my favorite person, though, Marvin. So quiet. Trayvon.
I'm super offended. I'm leaving.
I kid. All right. Trayvon Free is a comedy writer who has written the words for your favorite shows, Full Frontal with Samantha Bee, Any Given Wednesday with Bill Simmons, The Daily Show. He has won multiple Emmys. I'm super over him already just reading this list of things he's done. Most recently, he's been working on two HBO series. The first one, Camping, with Lena Dunham.
It's nice to get away and unplug.
Guys, eyes on me! I am the only certified lifeguard present, so please keep an eye on me!
This place is just so relaxing.
Time to get our buns and gear for our fossil hunt.
Joe has a plan, my caddy.
Today we have birds of prey watching! Woo!
The other is called Him and Her, which he is developing with Issa Rae, and he is writing on Seth Rogen's new show on Showtime, Black Monday, with Don Cheadle starring. Trayvon, what the like? What are you doing? Like, why are you working so hard? You're making me and everyone look really bad.
I have no. You know what?
What are you about to do? Where are you about to fly, Trayvon? Free.
Well, Tuesday, I'm flying off to Tanzania to scout for a movie.
You are well on your way, sir. And we also are joined by Marvin Lemoose.
Ooh, thank you for saying it right. I really appreciate that.
Dude, I've been saying Lemus for a while, and you never corrected me. And
I don't, think that I guess shade, I don't correct people as often
sweet,
as I should.
But it's Lemoose, man.
And it's Lemoose, yeah.
That's an amazing name. Anywho, you're a director, you're a writer, producer. I've known you for a while, but we, I guess, officially first worked together on the Dear White People movie campaign that you created, which went totally viral and was like one of the main reasons why people showed up to the theaters. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
and most recently, you've been working with Macro on a web series called Hintified, which just FYI is amazing.
Oh, thank
you. And I think you're looking and thinking about what that might look like on a television someday.
Yeah, it's we're working on it. It's been a long process, and we'll there'll be fun announcements at some point. Hopefully, we can talk more about it.
Well, I'm on the edge of my seat to find out what happens next. But first, y'all, what the fuck? Okay, just to the two of y'all, my general question is what the fuck, Marvin?
Yeah, no, you're right. What the fuck? Yeah.
Between the homosexual Hondurans, okay, being stopped. Do you know, have you heard this story?
No, what do you mean?
So there's this caravan of Hondurans, mostly gay LGBTQ youth, escaping, you know, torture and violence and all this kind of stuff, seeking asylum in the United States, which is like a legal process, by the way, a totally like not weird new thing. It's not a form of immigration. This is like a thing that you do. If you're seeking asylum in a country, you have to be in that country in order to file for it. And just en route to the country, Trump has been threatening to cut off all aid to Honduras, which is like 66 million they normally get. He's threatening all these, like, cutting off ties with Mexico if they don't do something about this problem. He's using it, of course, at his rallies during this precious midterm season to, you know, get racists excited, I guess. Meanwhile, gay Hondurans guys are out here in the streets because that apparently is the kind of country we live in. Thoughts?
I think it's so. I'm so mad that I didn't even know that this story was happening. I've been following, you know, all of the stuff that's been happening with the babies getting torn away from their families.
Oh, that old news.
I know, right? But I'm like, so after all of that, it was just so. It was too much, and I feel like the last couple of months I've been super checked out, just trying not to read too much because it's too hard.
You actually posted something about this, and yes, I was stalking you a little bit this morning. but you posted from someone named Tina Vasquez, who is a immigration reporter. And she wrote, "I need y'all to understand that illegal entry is a misdemeanor. Misdemeanors are things like public intoxication and petty theft. For a misdemeanor, the United States is taking children from migrant parents and disappearing them into the system with no plans for reunification. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're referring to? By the
yeah. yeah.
The kids being stolen?
We're being used as this, like, you know, crazy scapegoat, and it's like to be made the enemy. Like, the thing that's so crazy to me is, like, you know, the excuse that Trump and, like, just the alt-right uses is this, like, they're trying to scare people into, like, being afraid of, like, all MS-13 coming and, like, taking all your kids and, like, killing you and, like, being in your streets. And it's like the people that are most affected by that are the people that are coming over this border trying to get away from that kind of violence. And it's just like, I'd love to, like, I had this idea for, like, I was like, I want to sit down and interview a bunch of, like, Republicans, and I'm just like, oh, so, like, how many of your family members did MS-13 kill? You know, because it's just, I'm like, you're not, it's like you're scared of it. But I'm like, that's not who's coming over the border. Who's coming over the border is people trying to flee this.
Yeah.
You know, trying to find some sort of, like, safety.
Well, what do we do? Because they're doing this because it's working. I mean, it's rallying people.
I mean, America has always been comprised of white people afraid of other.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And so if you can just gin up any type of, if you can point them in the direction of any boogeyman who doesn't look like them, they're all for it. And so you see him do it repeatedly with every group of people. Meanwhile, the most dangerous thing in America is white men.
Mm-hmm.
Like, who's killing?
Like, statistically.
Like, yeah, like, it's a proven, very easy thing to prove. You look around, who's killing Americans? It's white dudes.
Yeah, and white angry dudes.
We seem to be doing nothing. They're the ones who should be getting stopped at the border or pushed over it. Because, I mean, the people coming over here, they've statistically shown, aren't hurting anybody.
Yeah,
they're not hurting anybody, and it's just an easy way to be like, hey, how do we keep these people from coming into our country? Tell people that they're going to kill you.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's when is it going to be enough, though? Because it's like, you're right, like, they are, again, you know, I feel like these people are becoming scapegoats, frankly, to win elections. But at the same time, like, the population of the United States is mostly going to be brown folks. Yeah. Like, that's going to be the majority. I say brown folks because, frankly, I don't know what term I'm supposed to say at the moment. But you know what I mean? Brown folks from all over.
Minorities, or, yeah.
No minorities. I don't know, Latinx.
Are we already the majority, or just POC? Or
yes,
just
people of color together are a majority, if you were going to put us all together.
Mm-hmm.
But in a country like that, like, made up the way ours is, like, this is obviously irresponsible because we all, on this side of the border, we all supposed to be living together. So I don't know how that's supposed to go. I've been talking to you about this for a little bit, Marvin, but, like, where is the Latinx, like, you know, do the right thing? When are those protest movies and songs and cult, like, what's going on with that in America? Why isn't that
part
of this conversation, do you think?
I think it's because, I mean, I think it's happening. It's coming. I think there's a lot of exciting filmmakers that are, like, really pushing and, like, kind of starting to break through the cracks, creating something that is, at its core, I guess the thing is that American. I think Hollywood, for a long time, anytime that we make, or Hollywood likes to make Latino content or stories for us, one, they put us all in one big box, and that's the biggest issue, because, like, you know, Mexicans from California are completely different from Mexicans from Texas, like, or Mexican Americans specifically. Mm-hmm. And then whenever you make something, they're always, like, kind of geared towards Latin America, whereas, like, I didn't leave this country, like, I couldn't, my parents were undocumented, I didn't travel or, you know, take vacations in Mexico because my parents couldn't leave, even though I was born here. I didn't go anywhere outside of the country until I was, like, 23, you know? So, like, I've been in this country. I'm American through and through. But I think Hollywood, for the longest time, like, kind of gears towards creating content. Like, you could even see, like, there's a lot of shows that are, like, all in Spanish. It's supposed to be the new hot Latinx show, but it's, like, it's in, no shade. I love, you know, watching stuff in Spanish, but it's all really for Latin American countries versus it being or feeling American, you know? And I think that's one big part of it.
I feel like, I mean, I do feel like if something like this was happening to black folks, like, I mean, come on. If there was some situation where black folks were being, like, kept at the border, and I don't know, people would have singles out, there would be, like, music tributes, takeovers, you know, like, it would be a whole fucking thing. And I feel like that has to happen amongst the brown communities, you know what I mean? Like, it's got to be, I would be so frustrated if I was in that, making a change, because you're right, there are people who are coming through doing amazing things, but, like, Damn, so much has to happen.
Where is y'all's what's going on?
Where's that happening?
I know, right? Well, I think that they have, our biggest artists are like, you know, the Mark Anthonys of the world.
Pitbull?
Pitbull. And I mean, like, they're doing this the thing, but I think it's a lot of like, we're not like in the mainstream American culture. And so like, it's there. Like, you see like plenty of people are coming out and showing up to support. Like, you see like the One Vida at a Time, like the writers from Vida and One Day at a Time.
Everybody participated in that.
Yeah. And it's like, and it's beautiful. But I think like, we're still like kind of at the, like at, we're taking these baby steps just to like kind of be able to break into the mainstream.
That's how they can get, that's how they're getting y'all, man. It's messed up.
But you know, what's the genius of white people? Is you take corporate
cranberry sauce. Because I love cranberry sauce. But go ahead.
You take corporate and political white men, it's usually all white men, mostly white men, and you look at the fact that through legislation and through corporate law, they created a situation where generations of white people were deprived of hope, right? And they live in these rural, poor towns now, like going through these crazy opioid epidemics that somehow matter now.
When it was crack, it didn't matter.
Yeah, and you were going to jail. And then after they did that, somehow were able to disconnect the fact that white people did this to white people. Because the people they voted for, the people they put in office, passed laws and bills and created a scenario that deprived them of the very thing that was providing a life for them. Then you get to the point where someone like Trump comes along, another white man, and says to these white people, look at what they did to you. Let's make this place great again. And it was like, it's like that meme of the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other. It was like, you were the one, your people did this to you, but they're so blind to it because when you deprive someone of hope, all they have left to operate from is fear.
Yeah.
So what do? You're afraid you're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your livelihood. You're going to lose your country. And when people are saying, these people are the reason why you don't have money, these people are the reason why you can't feed your family, these people are the reason you live in fear, and you're like, yeah, because it's easier to believe that when all you have left is fear than to confront the fact that your very own people, the very people that you, the tribe you belong to, put you in this position in the first place. Your jobs didn't leave because some black politician voted to send it overseas.
No.
Your jobs are gone because white men who take money from white CEOs of corporations took money from these people to create a space where you were deprived of life and they got rich.
So can you talk to them? Like, can you just like shoot them an email or like, because I just feel like, why is it possible for people not to know that?
This is why I constantly tell white people who do know or know enough to talk to other white people. They're always like, what's the deal with like black on black violence and black this and black that? And I'm like, why are you talking to your, people will tweet me and go, you know, I just can't be around my relatives on the holidays or so this or so that. I'm like, motherfucker, talk to them. Tell them this, like, point them in the right direction. Move the laser off of Latinos and Muslims and black people and put it on the people who are actually doing this to them. You're smart enough to know why your family's going through what they're going through. Tell them.
Yeah. Because it's like we're all fighting and like trying so hard in our work to like be able to put out that message and to like be able to empower our communities, to be able to, there's the white folks that are the allies or the ones that are on the cusp or in the middle somewhere, to like be able to lean them towards us and become, you know, hopefully gain more allies in the like in the movement, in the fight. But I think the ones that are on the deep end of it, on the far end, like they're not going to listen to us. Like I feel,
I've thought about this often too. It's like, what do they go see? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if they hate Star Wars because, I don't know, women are in it or whatever the issue is now.
And a black person.
And a black person. what films are they going to go see? Mm-hmm. And, you know, should we all just, like, get together and, like, make one? Trojan Horse, like a Clint Eastwood movie that somehow, you know, brings people around on this issue. I don't know. Like, should we make a cute romantic comedy in the Midwest? Like, what do we got to do? Like, who are these people? How does what media is reaching them? Because clearly, voices are not getting that
nothing
far.
Nothing off of Fox, apparently.
Oh shit!
I mean, they're probably just rewatching screenings of Birth of a Nation at this point.
You know what? They might be, but I have a feeling that there is a media diet subculture there that is just like in all of our blind spots. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well, like it's funny because like they the Midwest or the Middle America people in Middle America. Are some of the highest viewers of Modern Family.
Yes.
And they love Cam and Mitchell, two gay dudes.
Mm.
But like, if you probably talk to them generally about gay people, it probably wouldn't be that great.
Right, right.
And like when you poll, like there's still places in America today that still think there should be segregation. Like when they,
yes.
I'm like, I don't know why you guys still do these polls because we already know this stuff, but it's at the same time, it's like, yeah, good to know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, television is pretty segregated. I can imagine you can enjoy a whole suite of television shows with all kinds of diverse faces in it and still believe that they should be separate because they are
right.
on TV and in movies. I mean, it just sort of, I guess the reason I'm bringing this up is because it's a what do we do situation. I mean, especially with the midterm. Like, if anybody cares to watch my Instagram habits, I've stopped posting and tweeting mostly anything because I've been doing this till I was blue in the face every single time an election comes up, every single time that something happens. I feel like I'm just talking to people that I already know and that are already going to do what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Have y'all thought about what, because I don't know, so I just really want you to just give me the answer. What do we do as we approach this very important midterm?
I mean, I feel like at this point, all we have left to do is convince young people why it's important to vote.
Oh, that's it.
It's weirdly one of those things that's so simple, and it's one piece of a larger puzzle, but somehow young people have been convinced that it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at, on top of that, just the insane amount of voter suppression. And people are like, this is too hard. And I have like bills and a life and I don't have time for this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let somebody else do it. And so every year or every election, you see only half the country votes. Literally like 330 million people, half the people decide
mm-hmm.
like who should govern them. And mm-hmm. so it's one of those tricky situations where how do you get young people to understand, like, the people who are making decisions for you are going to be dead soon, and you have to live with this shit.
Yeah.
And you think you're being cool and you're being like all like badass by being like, oh, I don't like voting. What? Like who does that? And it's like, you motherfucker, you need to do it, because eventually, like, I think you posted the thing about the global warming thing in 2030.
Yeah.
It was like, that day is coming,
yeah.
whether you like it or not.
You'll be alive, like, yeah. probably, maybe. Yeah. You may not be, honestly, like, but.
And if you are alive, you won't be that old, and you're going to have yeah. to be, you're going to be stuck on a dying planet for 40 years yeah, if you last that
if
long.
If you're 18, you will be 38 years old, apparently, when this calamity happens.
Because we gave up the farm. We lost everything on the progressive side. So we literally, and this is why Kavanaugh's in office, we literally have no recourse other than to vote. There's literally nothing we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have any type of legislative assistance anywhere that could give us any lever of power back other than just showing up in mass and going, not these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the work can begin. But
and specifically, we need to show up in mass in very specific races.
Yeah, very specific places in the country.
That we can actually win now. I mean,
yeah.
like there are still, Houston, Texas. And I remember growing up never understanding, because I grew up in Houston. I'm surrounded by progressives and liberals and all kinds of stuff. But like, growing up, I could never understand, why am I surrounded by this group of people, but my state seems to be controlled by that group of
right.
people.
Mm-hmm.
And now folks in Texas can actually, there are choices that you can make that could potentially, eventually, sooner than later, turn,
yeah.
you know, Texas blue.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy how close Texas is to like really turning a corner. And at the same time, you think about the fact that as exhausting as this last 2 years have been, it was only because of 40,000 people in a very specific
yes.
places. 40,000 people put us in this position.
Yes.
In like three very specific places. And that can all change on a dime.
And we have to find them one at a time. and ask them why. No.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
That's a movie, though. That's the Clint Eastwood movie Trojan Horse thing that we're doing. And that's also the title of the movie. It's called...
Trojan Horse?
It's called Clint Eastwood movie Trojan Horse thing by us. And it involves that 40,000 people. Okay, we'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to this KCRW podcast. In case you don't know us, KCRW is public radio in Los Angeles, bringing the best of NPR to Southern California. We're also known for our own brand of bold and innovative programming, evocative storytelling, taste-making music, and audio documentaries that are little movies for your ears. You can join our community to support this show and others, or make a one-time donation just to say thank you. Find out more at kcrw.com/join.
So we only have a little bit of time left, and this is really important. Kanye West. Should we talk about him or not? Like, is it healthy at this point to even bring him up? Trayvon.
I mean...
Or Coon West, as I believe, or Kanye West, as I believe you've called him.
The crazy thing about Kanye is I know enough people who know him who've collectively put a picture together that he's really going through some, like... mental stuff.
I don't get that impression at all.
He seems totally fine.
He seems very clear headed.
All these thoughts seem rational.
and that last song he came out with is just filled with lyrical genius.
It's okay, put it in the museum. Like put it in the Black Smithsonian today. I don't know what's left to dissect about Kanye. I feel like at this point we just now sit back and watch the train wreck. Because we tried to have the conversation when it first started, when we were like, everyone was like, don't do this, Kanye. Like, we don't want to stop. Like, we don't want to give up our Kanye.
Yeah.
Like, we don't want to have to, like, throw you away. And then he just doubled down and tripled down. And now it's like, there's no excuse
you can
make for Kanye. There's no, he's done enough. There's no excuse to the point where like we had to become like Taylor Swift supporters.
But you know, he's giving, but in a way though, he is giving everybody what they want because this is always how it ends with a black superstar that's that big. Like, and there are exceptions, of course, but most stars that get that big, eccentric black music stars that get that big always have this moment happen. It's about it comes in different forms,
right,
and it's about different things, but like we're as equally addicted to the downfall as we were to the rest of it. You know, it's not like, oh God, he's talking to Trump. Well, let's stop writing articles. Well, no, let's write triple the articles about him.
I think now we're at the point where we just don't pay attention to Kanye, so that way when he does come back, we can just go back to listening and loving him like it never happened.
You think people are doing, it's like compartmentalizing.
Yeah, like because when I see people's responses online, like at this point, like post him being in the Oval Office, people were like, I'm done with Kanye.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like there's an overwhelming majority of people who are like, I'm done with Kanye.
For now.
For now. And because, like, I can't stop listening to Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, and I can't stop listening to Pablo, and, like, you...
There are people who can't stop listening to Pablo. No shade, but some shade. I'm sorry. In the Ovoir or whatever, okay? It's just not my favorite of all the stuff, all
Pablo,
the albums.
I liked Pablo a lot.
Yeah, I liked it.
It wasn't the top of my Kanye album.
No,
list,
but... I can stop. I was very able to stop listening to it. Let's put it that way.
But, yeah, like, it's hard to... When you have such an iconic black figure go the route of like, you have to know what you're doing, but it seems like he doesn't. And like being like, I mean, when you're in the Oval Office talking about bringing jobs back and your clothing and shoes are made in China, like you definitely have a disconnect between what's happening.
Yeah,
and what
while
you're doing.
You're using. I mean, the thing though is, it's not just if it comes out that he in fact is bipolar, right? It's not just that though.
No.
It's not just, he's not just out here crazy and he doesn't know what he's doing.
Right.
It's like there is like calculated shit going on with him. I mean, Jennifer Lewis, I think is my favorite celebrity that's outspoken about it, because her story is, I mean, just, it's hilarious, it's devastating. But she was Jennifer Lewis during that period, and she's Jennifer Lewis now. I mean, some of this is, it just seems to be the same kind of narcissism that got Trump into power. I don't know.
I think that's why they connect so well, because there is an element of
genuine connection.
Yeah, like they see each other in each other, and there's definitely that part of him that I think Kanye is attracted to, that he, like, when he keeps saying, like, this is my brother, and he, like, we get, like, we have the same energy, and it's like, yeah, on some level, because you both are, like, famous narcissists, like, yeah, but fundamentally, I think you've misunderstood where that cutoff is, mm-hmm. and you're supported, you're wearing a modern-day Klan hood, walking around taking pictures and being a puppet of this, like, crazy racist misogynist regime that's mm-hmm. taken over your country, and you don't even see, like, you don't even get it, and your family is too fucking stupid and too into fame and money to even stop you
or to care.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like Kanye and Trump and several other black celebrities over the years, whether they are actual narcissists or they are just sort of caught up in a moment, I think there's something fun and orienting about people like that who can just have these tornadoes around them where everything is in chaos, but they're cool.
Right.
They're in the middle and they're good. They're getting nothing but benefit from it. They're getting attention. They're probably still selling records. They're getting elected to things. Like, you know, that must feel so good that they don't give a fuck how it affects the rest of us.
It's probably like just a direct stream of dopamine all the time.
It's like, gotta be.
Just like never not feeling good.
Yeah.
Well, it's just like he's in this, I mean, you're just in a little bubble where nobody tells you anything real. Right,
I guess so. Or honestly, I feel like he is choosing at this point not to know anything real, because he has now spoken on very specific things publicly, mm-hmm. such as the 13th Amendment, that obviously, like, he found out enough information to a point and then just decided to stop reading.
That's enough.
Yeah, like, I don't need to, like,
I got the headlines, yeah.
We needed to bring jobs back to America while wearing China-made Yeezys. I can't. Like, that's not just, I live in a bubble. There have been choices made. Okay, well, so I don't believe in canceling people, but I also don't believe in subscribing, you know, to their insanity. But I think if anything, for me, I'm still watching the whole Kanye fiasco because I want to know what happens to him.
Right.
I really want him to
out of
be
a place
okay.
of love, out of a, or out of a out place of entertainment, like
out of a, so for, you know, everybody knows me, I love me some Michael Jackson. I love mm-hmm. the tragedy. I love the triumph. Okay, don't at me about Michael, because you really that podcast will be a 14-parter. Okay, but he went through the same thing where, like, you know, his downfall was just, if not more profitable for media corporations than his, you know, ascendance. So it is interesting to me, just on a fundamental racial cultural level, what happens to our icons, because I feel like black and brown folks, we need our icons more. Right. They're not just entertainers to us. They're like, they lift us up and they make us believe we can overcome and all these other things. And so their downfalls hit a little harder, I think. What the fuck are y'all watching in the cinemas? Did we see First Man? Did we see Star Is Born?
I saw Star Is Born.
I saw that.
I liked it a lot. I could have shaved like 25 off of it.
Okay, could have had some notes. Yeah, like, had some notes and some
Bradley
concerns.
Bradley would let me have a cut. I could have, like, mm-hmm. you know.
I think there's a lot of us that would like Bradley to let us have a cut. I'm just kidding. I was trying to make a Bradley Cooper is hot to a lot of people. That movie to me was like a gay fantasy.
Because
Bradley's all like furry and beardy and like, damn, it's
mumble
all
Corey.
Good. Yeah, he's all mumble Corey. But really, it's all about fucking Lady Gaga, who starts at a drag bar of all places and like becomes more fabulous as the movie goes along.
Opens with Lovey and Rose.
I mean,
I thought it was going to be super cheesy. And I was just like, that trailer was everything. And I was like, okay, I'll go for this ride. And then I walked out. I couldn't stop thinking about it for like the rest of the week.
It had me.
Everybody in the theater was crying.
Why did you do that to me? First of all, that single that I think we're supposed to hate in the movie.
It was. You're supposed to hate it. It's supposed to be bad on purpose.
I have listened to that song. I have listened to that motherfucking song.
The button.
Why did you do that to me? Yeah, when they just started dancing on SNL.
I could not wait for that song to be over.
I walked
perfectly bad.
I walked right out of that theater and downloaded that song. I don't even have to because I have Spotify. Right. Okay. I paid 99 cents or however much it was and bought it, okay? Because I wanted Lady Gaga and Diane Warren, who co-wrote it, by the way.
Oh, my God.
To get that, to get the two cents show my appreciation. All right, before we wrap up, you know, the show's called Don't At Me, because this is where I like to have conversations that some might think are controversial because they're a little bit too nuanced for the social needs. Do you guys have any don't at me's today? Any things you need to get off your chest? I feel like Trayvon and I feel like both of you guys constantly are getting things off your chest on the internet. But
yeah, I do.
Yeah.
I have like crossed the threshold where I'm like, look, I'm just going to fucking say it in a series of 7 tweets because Twitter lets you do your thread before you send it now.
Right, right.
Get it all out.
Right.
But I mean, I feel like my most recent don't at me is like wearing Yeezys, which is like,
yeah,
I have so many pair of them, and I like one. They are the most comfortable shoe.
Well, it's the Chinese labor that makes them so nice,
and then, which brings me to my second point. The people who are like, oh, you can't wear Yeezys because you're like supporting Kanye, and it's like, one, I'm wearing shoes that I bought, but at the same time, like you have an iPhone. And who do you think made that iPhone? What type of labor do you think?
Kanye West.
People were killing themselves.
Oh, wait. People were killing themselves.
At these iPhone factories. So you could fucking be able to like swipe up.
What if I have an Android phone and I don't want you to wear Yeezys? How about that scenario, Trayvon?
I mean, I'm pretty sure the same labor went into that Android
phone.
No,
mine was made in Wisconsin.
It was not American made.
But, this is not an iPhone.
But the larger point is,
so
like selective
made
morality. If we dissected everything we wear and ingest and do every day, you could find probably 5 or 6 awful people connected or awful things connected to that thing.
Oh,
and
if all of us made conscious decisions about our consumer habits, we literally could just stop climate change today.
We wouldn't have anything.
Forget Yeezys.
We'd be growing our own food.
No, but we would just be like, you know what? Let's all not eat beef for like a solid month and just see the ozone come back. Like we could do that if we wanted to.
It's like, I'm a sneakerhead, and part of my selective morality is I'm choosing to
support Kanye West. In everything that he does and says. Got it. Marvin?
Don't at me, but Dia de los Muertos is not Halloween.
Come through. Let them know. Let the children
I guess I'll
know.
Go with that.
Saw Coco, so I know. All right?
I'm at Trader Joe's, and they have all these, like, the calaveras with, like, you know, some succulents in it. And, I mean, this isn't that controversial. I think, like, you know, people, Latinos, they tend to be pretty vocal about this. But it's very obnoxious this time of year that it's become such a thing. Like, this is, like, our one holiday that's, like, not even, like, all Mexicans really so I didn't grow up celebrating it, but it's become like one of our few mainstream things, and people get it so confused. It's not Halloween, it's not the same thing, you know. And then like at Hollywood Forever here every year, there's this big huge Dia de los Muertos like festival and all the ofrendas, and people just like don't go to see that. They're just walking all over graves and appropriate, and then donate to Raices if that's gonna be the thing, like just do both. You know, that's what this time of year, that's what I would love to see a little more.
Don't at me, but I am so over election coverage. Like, all the headlines, like, you know, guys, we might win the House. Guys, we probably won't win the House. Guys, we might win the House. Guys, we probably won't win the House. I'm fucking over it, okay? Yeah. Like, I'm so tired of news entertainment. Yeah. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the Don Lemon rants, okay? I have nothing against Don Lemon personally, but, like, no one is accomplishing anything with these TV rants where someone supposedly gets slammed, which, by the way, I hate that. You know what? Fuck. I'm going to change my don't at me mid-don't at me. My biggest don't at me is when we use physical verbs to describe people saying things. So-and-so slams someone. Rips apart. Eviscerate. No, they didn't. They said something somewhere. And like, you want me to read about
it. And a few thousand people shared it.
Yeah. And you're making it so fucking dramatic because you need clicks, and this is all about entertainment. And we are so divorced from what's really happening that I think it's actually feeding into this despair.
Right.
Because we're worn out by the time.
It's exhausting.
It's time to do something. Like, civic duty should be boring.
Right.
It should be boring. The news should be kind of boring, guys. Right. We should be able to deal with things just being boring and informative occasionally.
Right.
That's the MAGA hat that I want, is make politics boring again.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, remember when, like, it kind of didn't matter?
Yeah.
Like, if you missed the news for a week, you didn't miss something.
Yeah. It's like Republicans, Democrats, very close, you know. No, not anymore. Now everything is like the world's gonna end.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Unless.
Pay attention. Also, don't add me, oatmeal cookies are trash.
What?
What? No. Yeah.
Okay. You're insane, and you have not had a good oatmeal cookie.
I've had enough of them in my life to know oatmeal raisin cookies are trash. And
what do you have against sweetness? What do you have against sweetness and flavor and taste and texture?
First of all, I don't want I don't want my dessert to ever feel like it's trying to be healthy.
You know what? I want to thank my guests, Trayvon Free and Marvin Lemus, for sitting down with me today. Our producers, Gina Delvac, Kara Hart. Yes, I'm actually going to cut this off. Our production engineers, Garrett Lang and Ray Gwarda. Special thanks to Vishnu Vallabhaneni, Chuck Privateri, head of programming, Quinn O'Toole. Chris Bowers created our theme song. This is Don't Abby with Justin Simeon. This is an oatmeal cookie safe zone. If you like the show or want to think piece me, though, please subscribe at Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave a review. I'd actually love to hear from you. We will be back next week with another episode of Don't At Me from the one and only KCRW.